morning, everybody. This is You Get the Blessing.
Morning, Bo.
How you doing, Bob?
Good. Bo Mitchell's your host.
Bob Belt is your co-host. Who are we listening to here?
Lil Santana.
Wow. It's good stuff to wake up by. I know we've got listeners that tune in every week just for that 30-second blast.
And then turn it off and go to the shower.
Yeah,
so,
really.
Now's your time.
Amen. You Get the Blessing is here every week to introduce you to folks that we think are making a positive impact in the world for Christ, and your life will be blessed for taking this half hour, getting to know our guests every week. We also bless you in other ways as you respond to what we share on the program, and then get involved yourselves. So Morgan Johnson's our guest today. Morgan, welcome aboard.
Well, thank you.
Good to have you, Morgan.
Yeah, good to be here.
How old are you?
I am 23.
How long have I known you?
3 or 4 years, maybe.
Something like that. How about you, Bob?
Well, I've known his folks for a long time. So anyway, but Morgan, about the same time, about 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I want to hear about your life as a kid, because your parents are great. Oh. And tell us what it was like around your home growing up and what it felt like in your family room. What were the topics? What were they discussing in terms of faith? How'd you get launched in this life?
Gotcha. Well, my parents, so I have two brothers and two sisters, so it was pretty busy growing up. There were a lot of disagreements, but also a lot of fun. It's cool having enough siblings that you can play board games and video games and stuff and have, like, a whole tournament. So my parents are both Christians. I grew up going to Cherry Hills. I actually grew up when Cherry Hills was at Colorado and Hampton riding bikes to church, and my brother and I would put on our rollerblades and help direct traffic for the parking. Not really sure if we did anything to really help, but we had a great time.
You helped, and that's why I was thinking, I believe I've known you 23 years. You just haven't known me.
There you go. I always grew up with church and the family. Going to church together every week as a family was mandatory. When I hit middle school, though, my parents were smart enough to realize that I was the type of kid that wouldn't take something from them just because they were giving it to me. So they wisely directed me toward wildlife. And so got to hang out with some cool college guys.
Tell them what wildlife is for those that weren't.
So
there.
Wildlife, for those of you who don't know, Young Life. Young Life is a Christian outreach organization that works in high schools around the country and around the world. And wildlife is the middle school version of that.
I read an article just this week. They have a college Young Life now. Have you heard of that? I guess on the East Coast mainly, or?
I haven't heard of anything big, but I do know when I started out at DU, I did my freshman year at DU. And when I was there, there was some Young Life leaders that were still hanging out with us that we were doing a Bible study together. And then the idea was that it would help plant us at the end of the year as leaders in different Young Life clubs.
I'm sorry to distract you from your story. It just popped into my head.
So anyway, who were your wildlife leaders?
So my main one was Josh Cole. And he was a lot of fun. He was going to Metro at the time studying to be a pilot. So that was cool because on career day when I was in middle school, I got to go up flying in a little Cessna with my wildlife leader. So probably the coolest career day ever. I got to fly the plane a little bit and stuff, but
I'm sure that's why they call it wildlife.
Once it was in the air, it's fine, because the worst that can happen is we drop a few hundred feet and you know, your stomach goes. But
parents didn't care. Go on up there, have some fun.
That's
good. That is a good career day. Very good. So they kind of pointed you towards making your own choice for Christ, or considering your own faith?
Yeah, they were clever about it. They knew what they were doing. They knew I was a stubborn kid, and so if they were just, you know, trying to call the shots for me, then whether I thought it was true or not, I would tend to oppose it anyways. So in middle school is where I really kind of got a little, like, actually kind of gave my life to Christ. You know, when I was 7th grade at snow camp, and started a Bible study with, actually ended up doing a one-on-one Bible study with one of my other wildlife leaders, this guy named James Daly. And I still think that was one of the best things that I could have done, was just had somebody with me one-on-one for the first few months that I was a Christian, making sure that this wasn't just like the mountaintop experience while I was at camp, but actually making sure that this was something that was pursued regularly and continued to be talked about. So
good for you. So where'd it go from there?
So from there, went to high school, still doing some Young Life stuff, but Young Life's mostly an outreach organization. They do campaigners, like little Bible studies for the kids that are believers. But about halfway through my sophomore year is when my family switched from going to Cherry Hills Community Church to Highline. And that was back when it was meeting in a little elementary school off Arapahoe Road. But I started going to the youth group there instead of going to Young Life, because it was it went a little bit more in depth with stuff. And so that was cool. Got to just
so was TK your
yeah,
youth
Tim,
pastor?
Tim yeah. Kennedy was the youth yeah. pastor then. Just a solid guy, like real gift for youth ministry. So natural at hanging out with kids. And just a deep passion for it. But so it was pretty cool. There was some great leaders there that really led really well. And there was also just a good community of guys that I got to be around that were a few years older than me that were really pursuing Christ hard. And so that was the time when it was cool to see how Jesus became a conversation, not just in Bible study or in church, but like in life. And people were like encouraging each other, like, well, you know, what are you learning? You know, what is going on with you? And,
how important is it, Bob, to get your roots down like Morgan did first with the wildlife guys? And then, as he's saying, guys that were a little more serious, and it goes from a Sunday morning thing to an everyday thing, life. And isn't it almost like the way we get our roots down is the way we perceive a life of faith after that initial phase?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've talked about this before on the show too, but, you know, having somebody that comes alongside like you're talking about and really kind of helps get you going. In my life, it was Rich Beach, and I think Don Reverts in your life too. But, you know, I'm speaking at Promise Keepers this weekend, and the thing that keeps hitting me is that, you know, guys will be called to make decisions, but how many of those guys, you know, are really going to stick? For one thing, I mean, it's important, like you're saying, decision. But the thought that kept coming to my mind is Jesus isn't really looking for decisions; he's looking for disciples. You know, he's really looking for people that have that ongoing relationship, and having somebody build into your life like that, I think, is, you know, it's oftentimes the difference between a guy kind of drifting for some period of time or really going on to do the kind of things you're doing, actually.
Yeah, so that's great. So I'm glad you share there how your roots were established and you started growing up. So
did TK also kind of give you your first exposure to international kind of things, or what?
No.
Where'd that come from?
I had actually, the only time really that I had done anything international before I graduated high school was when I was at Cherry Hills. I think I was in seventh grade. Did a week-long mission trip to Juarez, Mexico, and built a house there. After that, it was never anything that was even on my radar. It just never crossed my mind, really. Summer after my junior year of high school, so I was still involved with Young Life stuff even while I was doing youth group. And so I started leading wildlife when I was in high school. And then summer after my junior year of high school, I went to do work crew at a Young Life camp called Woodleaf, which is just north of Sacramento, and spent a month there doing the dishes. And one of those guys that I was really good friends with from my youth group was a couple years older than me. So he had just finished his freshman year of college. And was about to go to Russia with Campus Crusade. And so we had been talking about that and what that means. And so I called him, cause he left while I was still at work crew. And so I called him, the day before he left, just to talk to him. How is he doing? Pray for him and stuff over the phone. And while we were talking, he goes, "Hey, how would you feel about going to Africa?" And I was like, yes. And so he was like, "Yeah, I have no idea where we would go or what we would do. But I was thinking that when you graduate high school, you'd take a semester off, and I would just take a semester off of college, and then we'd go for 6 months or so." And I was like, "Great, that sounds awesome. We'll talk more about it when you get back from Russia." So he comes back, and we start pursuing it. We start talking to all these different organizations and people and trying to find things, and we can't find anything. Because everybody we're talking to is like, "Well, you got to come for like a week or 2 weeks, and then maybe we'll take you for 6 months." which I look at now and it's probably wisdom. But it was just really felt like God was closing all the doors. And so that was really the first time that I had kind of been introduced to international stuff.
So how did it come about now that you get involved with Come Let's Dance?
So
was he one of the guys in the film, by the way?
Just no. Curious.
Okay. All right.
So the guys in the film, I'll get to that in a second.
And we'll have to tell people what the film is and all that.
Yeah. But so about 6 months later, come December and January, that guy, Ryan, he's like, all right, well, the doors have closed in Africa, so I'm going to go on another trip with Campus Crusade. So he got involved in another trip with Campus Crusade to go to East Asia during the summer. And so I was just kind of planning on, you know, graduating from high school, spending the summer at home, working, doing, you know, what most people do. But started reading these books like Irresistible Revolution by Shane Claiborne and stuff like that, that just talks about, I mean, he talks about how as soon as the war in Iraq started, he flew to Baghdad and just started hanging out with people in Baghdad and spending time with them. And as people are questioning, you know, what's going on. And he's just like, hey, still love you, you know, and just like radical stuff. And then he runs this ministry in, I think, inner city Philadelphia called The Simple Way that just, you know, just living radically for Christ and starting to do some crazy things. And so that started to push me a little bit more. And then I was going to TNL, the Next Level Church in Denver at the time. And one of the other pastors there at the time was this guy, Dave Terpstra. Mm. And Africa was really on his heart. And so every sermon that he was doing, he would, at the end of it, tie in Africa in some way. And so it started bringing it back to my mind again. And he has since quit his job as a pastor at TNL and moved to Mozambique. And him and his family live in Mozambique full time now. But so I started questioning, like, all right, like, you're bringing this up again, God, like, what's going on? And they did this program at TNL called Interaction Africa, where they just brought every organization that they knew of that worked in Africa or did something to come and talk about who they were and what they did and how you could get involved. And so I went there. And so the movie you're talking about, Mzungu, it's, you know, these four guys to go to Africa and it's all about what they're doing while they're there. And one of those guys was my brother's roommate in college. And so when they first went in that movie, they went to Uganda, spent most of their time in Uganda, but also went to Zimbabwe for a little bit. And so those that guy, Scott, and his brother had kind of switched and started doing projects in Zimbabwe. And I knew him a little bit. So I asked him, you know, all right, Scott, so how can I come to Zimbabwe with you? And he was like, well, Zimbabwe is not really a safe place. So we're going to go ahead and point you to Come Let's Dance, which is our sister organization. And so that's kind of how I got involved with Come Let's Dance.
And tell the audience, about what you guys do. It's very cool.
Yeah.
In Uganda, Kampala, right?
Yeah. Just around Kampala. We've got several different projects. But it all started when Shane, she's been our executive director. She just kind of stepped down this year and moved on to some bigger and better things, which we can get to that. But in 2005, felt like God was calling her to go to Africa. And at the time, she was working with this film company that she started in L.A. So she goes, well, if I'm going to Africa, I'm going to make a movie and I'm going to get the Oscar for it. I'm going to win Sundance. And she had all her aspirations. So she talked to these four guys and got them to go to Africa and have all their different projects of what they wanted to do. And she just followed them around with a camera while they were there. And while they were there, they met this house of about 60 orphans and street kids that were being taken care of by guys that were 18 and 19 years old. And so at that point, she's like, all right, well, what am I doing making a movie? Like, I can't just sit there and watch this happen. I can't film this and go back and try to win my Oscar. I've got to do something. And so she came back to America. Sold her share in the film company, gave away all her stuff, and pretty much moved to Uganda and started Come Let's Dance. So everything started trying to help these kids. At first it was just getting enough money every month to cover food, help get them healthy again because they all had parasites. They were getting malaria all the time. So it started with that. And then in 2007, which was the first year that I went, we had money coming every month for food and for some medical budget. And then we also started getting some sponsors for the children to go to school. And so then we did a big fundraiser in 2007, got enough money that we could buy a house for the kids.
So that, when you met these kids, it was just a local orphanage with 60 kids run by nationals?
Yep. And so so it was just these four guys. And
she saw the situation and thought, we can help.
Exactly. And so everything was about pouring into those guys and helping them to help the kids. Just knowing that, you know, Shane had been spending some time in Zimbabwe and knew that Robert Mugabe in Zimbabwe had kicked all these foreign NGOs out. And so she kept asking this question constantly of, you know, what happens when we leave? So we're not going to be here forever. What happens if they kick us out? And so we really structured the entire organization around sustainability because of that. So everything was about building into these local leaders so that they could run everything on their own. So we bought a house so the kids could live in the house, wouldn't have to pay rent anymore, wouldn't have to worry about getting kicked out by landlords or anything like that. We bought a farm so that we could start producing food on the farm, and that could help cover our food budget. Also in 2007, we started talking about, all right, well, these kids, they've been abandoned. So how do we help? How do we start pouring into their families and get their families to the point where they can take care of them again? And so we started doing a lot more research and finding where the families were. And most of the kids came from this one slum called Katanga. And so we started this this project called Thread of Life, which works with women in Katanga, teaches them how to sew and how to make different craft items so that they can have a trade or a skill that they could then use to make money for their to support their families.
So how many months a year were you spending over there during these years?
In 2007 was the first year I went. I spent 6 weeks there. And then I came back and decided that I really wanted to do something like this more long term. So worked my tail off to graduate college quicker so I could do that quicker. I had a really interesting college career. Started out, did my freshman year at DU, went back to Uganda in 2008 for 2 months during the summer, then transferred to CU because I decided I was going to be an English major.
And your dad wanted you at CU.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he wasn't upset about it. decided I wasn't going to pay all that money for DU if I was just going to get an English major. So spent a year at CU, and that whole year, my whole sophomore year, I was trying to figure out how could I get a full semester of credit for being over in Uganda?
Thinking.
Yeah, and so I started looking into some different study abroad opportunities and stuff like that, and nothing really fit. And so I finally ended up finagling my own internship program. So between 9 internship credit hours and 2 online classes, I ended up getting a full semester of credit for just doing come let stand stuff. And so just living with my friends in Uganda and doing that. And so after my sophomore year of college, I went back to Uganda in May and then stayed until December. And then went back and during my sophomore year of college, those 2 semesters, and then my last semester, or my second semester, my third year of college, I was taking between 19 and 25 credit hours a semester. And so ended up graduating a year early.
You listen to the voice there, by the way, of Morgan Johnson, our guest today on You Get the Blessing. Quite a fascinating story. We're just kind of catching a profile here of how he crammed 4 or 5 years of college into how many years?
3
years. Good job. That's dedication.
Probably my parents would probably make sure you knew that that was one of the only things that has had that much dedication.
No, they wouldn't. So back to Africa.
Yeah.
And where now?
So we had the kids house now, which we like to call it a kids house. We don't like to call it an orphanage, because a lot of times you'll find that orphanages actually perpetuate the problem of orphans, because you'll have these international organizations that come to African countries or around the world and set up an orphanage, and then you have this woman in the slums that says, oh, there's an orphanage there. Well, if I abandon my kid, then they'll get 3 square meals a day, school fees, and a bed to sleep on. And so I'm going to just abandon them knowing that they'll get picked up by an orphanage. And so throughout, you know, throughout our time, we've really made an effort to seek out the parents, seek the families out, and really continue to work with them. And so our kids, several times during the year, continue to go back to their families and continue those connections. And we make sure that the families have some sort of responsibility for their kids. And we've actually seen several of the kids go back to live with their families full time, which has been really exciting.
That's great.
But so then, about 2 years ago, we started a school too, just working towards, more sustainability, because we're looking at like the money coming over, for school fees, like that's good now. And it's somewhat sustainable that we don't have to continue going out and fundraising for that. But again, what happens if the money goes, then these kids don't go to school.
One second. Let me just make sure I've got this. So you buy a house to an orphanage. You have bought a farm, self-sustainable. You started micro businesses in the slum, and you are working with the families to get the kids back. And you're 23. Is this right? It's unbelievable.
Lifetime of work here. Fast.
Yeah, it's amazing what you guys are doing.
Yeah, well, it's been pretty incredible just to see, you know, how God uses things and direct things. Because I mean, we're like, when you say it like that. It's great, but then when you're in the thick of it, you're always just like, well, this is the next little thing, and this is what God's telling me to do right now, and so I'm gonna do it. But really, it was cool, because it was Shane mostly that led everything, and she was our big pusher, and she's our big visionary, and she talks about how her gift is starting things. But yeah, so started the school, and the idea is with the school that as like one, we can offer a really high quality education. That we have a little bit more say in what's being taught and how it's taught, because the main way that they do education in Uganda is memorization and repetition. And so we're able to focus.
That's how
more.
I do it, by the way. Am I missing something here?
So this is the problem.
We're able to focus more on critical thinking and stuff like that, and do a lot of teacher training.
You can help me.
But I don't do the teacher training. We're looking at some of the reports from the kids at the local schools, and it's like, in order to go to a good school, you have to pay so much money. And so the schools that, like the average level schools, we're looking at the reports, and you'd have, you know, something like from number, so they rank the students, right? They're, you know, you're every term, you look at I'm number two in the class and it's always like 50 students in the class. And I remember looking at this one girl's report, and she's ranked number 13 out of 50. So it seems like she's doing pretty good, like top quarter of the class. Well, she had failed 8 out of 9 of the classes. And so she's still ranked number 13 out of 50, which means the bottom 3/4 of the class were failing even worse than she was. And we're like, well, this is, you know, we're not being good stewards of our money if we're sending kids to schools like this. And looked around, and you can't find any for the appropriate money, to send kids to a decent school. So, I mean, with, you know, I don't know how, like $30 a month is what your typical, you know, child sponsorship is for most organizations. And I've heard of different organizations doing it different ways, but like, I mean, in Uganda, at least the schools that you could get for $30 a month are not good schools. And so we started our own school so we could, you know, help manage the teaching quality better, work towards sustainability. So stuff with like, the food from our farm is now being given to the school for free, and so that helps lower the costs of the school fees. And so we're charging about $100 per term for just the – we're open to the rest of the community too, so it's not just these kids that we've been working with.
Let's start giving out how people can help you.
Oh, well, we still sponsor all of these students right now to help subsidize the costs. And so I think we've got about 15 to 20 students that still need to be sponsored.
How do they find you? How do our listeners find you and give you money?
So, you can look on comeletsdance.org, is our website. It's currently under construction, so you'll have to forgive the quality of the website. All the information's on there for how to contact us and so that's one way. The big thing we're doing right now is the school, we bought 5 acres of land, and then there was just a house on it. So we've done some rehab and some construction work to turn that house into a school. But the plan is to build out the rest of that 5 acres into the actual school. And so we're doing some capital campaign to fund the building of the school and all of that. Right now we're actually on our big push is to buy a school bus for the kids. We've had some taxi businesses that again have worked towards sustainability just to transport the kids to school every day. The ones that aren't living at the kids' house, but, it's just a taxi holds 14 people and it's been cramming about 25 to 30 in it every day. And so we're really trying to get a school bus. We had $10,000 donated, and it costs about $20,000. So we're still looking for the other 10.
Well, that's, our friend Morgan, he's tearing it up.
Morgan could talk all afternoon about this all morning about it because they're doing so much. It's really an amazing, amazing ministry, and it's fun to have Morgan a part of it.
So thanks for your sharing.
Yeah. And let's give the info again, too. ComeLet'sDance.org.
We need a bus. We need to build out that 5 acres. We need
15 sponsors for
15
kids.
15 sponsors for kids. Yeah. And keep up the good work, friend. And thanks for blessing others with what you're doing in your life.
And thanks so much for having me on.
You bet. We'll see you folks next week here on You Get the Blessing.